EWA 517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
Number 71, Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
Number 71, Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Murray 295. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy?
Yeah.
Did we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Same airplanes.
Howdy, dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. I'd like to welcome Teresa to the show. She is a Native American from South Dakota in the US, and she is here today to talk about her experiences and share her knowledge of the Star Nations. Hello, Teresa.
Hello.
So I'd like to start by start from the very beginning. When did all this start for you?
The first experience I had with the ETs was about 4.5 years ago. I had my actual physical contact with them. Before that, for about the last up to 20 years in my Native American culture, we have been praying to Star Nation, which is Creator, the vast unknown, and then whatever life is out there and here. And I was taught in my culture that we're related to everything that's on this planet, in this dimension, and in the next dimension, and out in the universe. And so I have always known that there was something greater out there, and just stayed on my path and kept praying to them. And they started showing themselves to me in ceremonies as orbs. I started seeing them in orbs. That kind of alerted the medicine men that were in ceremonies with me that I was being able to see them. And they told me I had a gift to see them. And so I kind of didn't really know what that was all about. I just continued on. I was in my late 20s. I'm 46 now. So maybe that was just kind of my introduction I met them in the ceremonies. And then about 4.5 years ago, that's when they came to me. The very first time that I saw them was right here, right here in my community of Spearfish, South Dakota, in the Black Hills. Now, we've always known in our culture that the Black Hills was the heart of Mother Earth, and it's very sacred here. And so I was out one night with some friends of mine, and we saw these luminous lights sitting in this field. Now, mind you, I used to live out right next to where we saw these lights. And so I kind of knew that neighborhood. We'd been out there for about maybe 4 or 5 years. My folks owned a business out there. And so I've known that road. I've been on it numerous times. Well, we were right around the corner from there. We were coming down this hill, and we saw these lights, and we pulled over. We slowed down to look at them. Well, I did, basically, because I knew that something different was going on there. The passengers that were with me didn't really recognize what was going on. So I pull over, and we looked, we looked at those lights. There was four of them, and they were just sitting there. And I mean, it kind of got our attention, like, what is that? And so we thought we would go drive around to this other road on the other side of this field and look at it from another angle just to see what it was. I thought it was an irrigation lights or something like that in the field. So we took off to drive, and for whatever reason, we never made it to the other side. I came to, and we were parked on a hill, and something seemed weird. We were all, nobody was really saying anything in the car, but I said, okay, where are we? And I rolled my window down and I looked at the area, and the side of where I was at was like these big mounds were on the side of the road. And that was not familiar on this road before. So I knew that we were someplace else. And it didn't dawn on me that, you know, we were taken or we were put somewhere. I was just like, where are we? Like, what happened? And my passenger said, he goes, I think they abducted us. And that's when I got alerted. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We were looking at those lights. And I said, okay. So I grabbed my sage and I start smudging this off. And I'm praying to Star Nation and to my mother, my biological mother that had passed on the other side, and was asking to help us. Like, where are we? What's going on? Quickly, I'll get to the end of the story. So we look over to the right of us and we saw those luminous lights again. But this time there was five of them and they were in a row. And we rolled the window down and we looked and we're like, okay, so they took us, but where are we? We started kind of get, they got scared. I started panicking. I began to cry. I was scared. I was like, what happened? Like, okay, we're still on the earth, but where are we? And I thought we were maybe in Wyoming. And so we decided to take off driving. I stepped on the gas to go up the hill. And as we went up the hill, in a blink of an eye, we were back at the same spot where we started, but just around the corner in front of my parents' old business. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we're back. And I got scared. So we took off and we went down the road about 2 miles down the road, and we pulled over and we were all just kind of shaken a little bit. I guess we weren't really aware of what was happening. We just knew that something weird had happened to us. We turned around and we looked back and we seen like a green fluorescent haze. And it looked like a portal, maybe, is what we thought it was. We weren't sure, but we knew that something weird was going on. And we kind of were scared. I mean, we were pretty shaken up over this. And we were like, we got to get back to town because we're probably about 5 miles out of town on this private road. It's not really private, but it's just a side road. And so we went to go start my car up, and when I pushed the button to start my car, my lights clicked on, and there was this black cat with these green eyes right in front of my car, just staring at us. And we screamed, and I was like, oh my gosh, like something told me, like, that's them. And then the guy that was in the front seat with me, he's like, well, who? And I'm like, them. I go, I don't know, whatever it is that's messing with us. And so we back out and we take off and we come into town. And this is probably about midnight, and we come into town and we pull into the gas station, and the lady that was working was kind of a lady that I knew sort of just from passing through. And we told her that something weird had just happened out on this road. And she said, well, yeah, that was weird too, because just a few minutes ago, her whole computer system glitched out. And I was like, okay, whatever. We didn't really feed much into it. We took off to head back to my house, and we were coming through town and everything was different. I mean, things were different. Like, everything was brand new, and the signs were new. Everything was new. I mean, I just couldn't believe, like, what's going on in our community. And just kind of let it go. And, you know, just thought maybe, okay, this is just, we're losing it or something. You know, I don't know how to justify it, but we were trying to justify it. Yes. As the human mind was trying to make concept of what was going on. I mean, I was trying to figure things out, but I was just too much. I was too traumatized from what had just happened to really realize that now I look back on it, that I had shifted into a different timeline for whatever reason. But that event paralyzed me for about 2 weeks. I was very scared. I was talking to only my parents about it and my family, and telling them that this had happened. And of course, they were kind of scratching their head, like, okay, how, what, where, we don't know, you know. So anyway, my folks put me in contact with a friend of ours that does UFO investigations for our state of South Dakota. And I went and met with him, and I took him out there, and I showed him some things. And he asked me if he could put me under hypnosis. And he said that he would pay for it. They would pay for it to put me under the whatever that he works for, the government or whatever he does his researching for, said they would pay for me to go under hypnosis. And I said, sure, I would absolutely go under, because I wanted to know what was going on too. So he told him to give him like 2-3 weeks and he'd get back to me. Well, during that time, I was so scared. I ended up going up to my reservation and talking to my elder uncle, that's a medicine man that's in his 70s. And I told him what happened. And he had asked me, he said, well, did they hurt you? And I said, no. And he goes, okay. He goes, whatever they did to you, he said, you weren't supposed to see, you weren't ready for it. So don't be scared. There are relatives, that's Star Nation. And just, you know, he kind of calmed me down, and he gave me a bead that he wrapped up and prayed for and told me this was going to protect me from any kind of negative forces that were going to try to come at me because of this experience. So I carried that around with me for years. But I ended up getting a hold of the guy that was supposed to do the investigation. And he just told me that it was better that maybe I didn't recall whatever was going on. So I don't know. I mean, so right then and then my red flag went up. I knew something was like, okay, they don't want me talking, or they don't want me doing any memory regression or whatever. So I left it alone. And from that point on, that's when my fascination to looking up began. And it took me a while to go back out on that road. For the longest time, I couldn't go back out there. I was so scared that I was going to see them again. It was just too traumatic. It wasn't fun. It wasn't cool. It was very scary. But now I have enough interaction with them that I'm not afraid anymore. There are some things that they still do that kind of scares me a little bit, because I see how powerful they are and what they can do. So I have to, the biggest fear when I'm communicating with them, I have to let go of is my fear when I'm communicating with them, because they show me things and do things with me that is just not of the normal mind concept. And so I have to be, when they put me through something or I experience it or they show it to me, I have to be really careful and digest it and be able to understand what it is that had happened or what is going on with me or what they're giving to me before I talk to anybody. I have to know for myself. I'm not somebody that will mislead anybody. So I need to be confident about the message that they delivered to me before I go public with it or before I discuss it with anybody. So that was my very first experience. And another experience I had with them was I was in Rapid City and I saw this bright light and it was just like turning. And I've always carried binoculars with me because of this now. And I used to have a lot of video. I used to video all the time, all the events. And somehow my SD cards started coming up missing. I don't know what has happened to them, but I just don't have any more evidence anymore. I mean, I had like 4 SD cards loaded with them on camera and stuff that I was videoing, my interactions with them, and they're all gone, which is fine because whatever, I don't need them. I have too much interaction with them now. I can see them anytime I want. And anyone that's been with me has witnessed them with me. So they came through that night in Rapid City. This is the one I had talked about on Jimmy Church, where they came through and it took them about 20 minutes to get down into our atmosphere. And I kept praying. There was like 3 other people with me, and, well, 4 other people actually, and they were looking at them with my binoculars. And then they came through and it was like a disco ball when it came through, but then it turned into like a, I want to say like a long, like a chain or something. It was like the ball turned into like 5 lights as it got closer. I don't know how it shifted like that, but it just did. It started coming in. It looked like a cigar maybe, but with 5 lights on it. And anyway, so those lights came through, and then as they got closer, they shifted again, and then they turned into like this ball again, and it started twirling, and it was coming down. And I was like, wow, and we were just, holy cow. And one of my friends says, you got to video this, Tarita, get your tablet out and video them. And I said, no, I don't want to video them. We're not supposed to video them this time. I'm like, we're supposed to just watch what they're doing. And so they came in, and then they dropped 3 orbs. And I've seen, I think it was maybe on your show on Twitter or on your Twitter that I seen some video. I don't know if it was yours or if it was another one. about they were dropping orbs, and somebody had caught that, and I was like, right on, like, that's them. And so anyway, back to what I'm talking about, my experience. So when they came through, they dropped down three orbs, came down on top of the city. And it, when they came through the sky, it sounded like water running through I don't know how to explain it. It just sounded like water coming through. And then when they came through, they disappeared, and they lit up the whole town. The south part of Rapid lit up into these orange orbs in the streetlights. And I was like, holy crap. I was like, that's what they're doing. I'm like, they're coming down here and hiding in the artificial technology, because that's artificial and they can sustain in there. And I was like, why am I even talking? Like, this was so crazy. So anyway, I chimed into that. And then that disco ball kept coming further down. And as it came down, all of a sudden we could hear these motors kick on, like these jet motors. And it shifted into this outline of this great big ship, a passenger airplane. And it descended right on top of us. And you could see the outline of it. It was a dark mass. And then there was lights on the end of it. There was like green and red and pink lights on it. And that's when I started asking them. I said, okay, well, who are you? I was like, is this my mom? Like, mom, is this you guys in the future? I was asking if it was my mom and her relatives in the future. If this is you, you know, blink your lights for me and tell me that this is you guys, because I'm getting scared. You know, I was kind of freaking out thinking it was going to abduct us. And those lights on that plane or that jet, whatever it was, they twinkled. And I was like, oh, I was telling everybody there. I was like, that's my mom. And I'm like, that's that's them in the future. They're coming back here. Like, oh my gosh. And I got excited. Instead of getting scared, I was now excited and happy. And that ship, it came over us. And it started taking off towards Ellsworth Air Force Base. And as it started going that way, those lights, it just vanished, like, boom, it just was gone in the blink of an eye. And I'm like, okay, where did it go? And so that was kind of my second big experience that I recall having interaction with them. And then I've just kind of, that experience right there, really, it stumped me for the longest time. I mean, I was so fascinated after that the future was coming back here to see us, and that it was my relatives or whoever. Well, they validated it I'm not going to discredit them, but they told me that that's who it was my mother and her family and the future of us out there coming back here. So I accepted that. And, I started attending more ceremonies and getting more involved in our culture and talking about it more in the sweat lodges. And excuse me, I'm coming down with a little bit of a cold, so my voice is kind of cracking up here. But
no problem.
Okay, so that was a great big experience for me right then and there. And then after that, I started to notice a lot of people were following me, and I wasn't sure why they were following me. I was kind of getting a little bit paranoid and scared, because I was like, okay, somebody is like on to me. Somebody's watching me. Somebody knows that I know something. And I stopped sky watching for the longest time, for probably like about 6 months. I stopped going out and talking to them and watching them, because I was at my apartment one time, and, I was outside talking to a friend of mine, and I turned to the right and I looked, and I seen a man and a woman and a dog coming out of my apartment. And I was like, who's that? And the person that was with me was like, who, what? And I was like, did you just see that? I was like, somebody just came on. I was like, hold on. And I took off running over it, because it was dark. And so I took off running up to my apartment, and there was my porch light was on. And I went out there and I was like, where'd they go? And I was like, where'd they go? And for a little bit there, yes, I felt like I was going crazy. I was like, okay, what's going on? Like, I know I saw a guy and a woman and a dog coming out of my apartment. And then I walk over to the alley, and there was a man in a black coat walking down the alley towards me. And I said hello to him, and he didn't say anything to me. He just walked right by me. And I was like, yikes, that was kind of creepy. So I mean, after that, with these little bit of incidences, now I look back on it, and maybe it was something that was, I don't know, trying to keep me quiet. I don't know. I don't understand. I'm, as I'm explaining to you, those were just my human concepts of the things that were happening to me. So with that experience, I kind of, kept to myself. I mean, I really kept to myself. I didn't want to talk about this stuff anymore. I didn't even want to know. I didn't even want to go out looking up at the stars anymore. I felt like my life could be in danger because I'm able to see them and communicate with them, and something else, this force doesn't want me to. So I left it alone, and I just continued on with my life and kind of got my life back on track and was like not thinking about it too much and not talking to people about it. And I started again. They got my attention again, and I saw them again one night. My son come running in, and he was like, "Mom." He was like, "Mom, Mom." And I said, "What?" And he was like, "Come outside." He goes, "Look at this light out here." And so he had it on his phone. He had a video, and that light was moving around. And so I came outside, and I looked, and I was like, "Wow." I was like, "What is that?" And he was like, "I don't know." He goes, "I was sitting out here having a cigarette, and I looked up," and he goes, "I saw that light start moving around." I go, "Wow." I go, "That must be them again." And he was like, "Well, what do they want?" I said, "I don't know. I think they've always been there." I said, "I don't know either." But I realized that that light has always been there, and it only comes up certain parts of the year and the season. And when one time I realized it's a portal, you know, and this is stuff I haven't told anybody, that you're the first person I'm telling right now, that that light, when it came down or whatever it is a portal. And I don't know if some people might call it the Morning Star or the North Star, or I don't know what people, some people call it, they think it's a star, but it's really not a star. It's an actual portal. And I saw things going in it. I was looking at it with just a common binoculars. And when I was zooming in on it like that, when I started watching it, I started watching it for about a week. And early in the morning, about 6 o'clock, I'd have to hurry up and go outside and wait for it. It was between 5 and 6. And that's when I started seeing things going in it and portaling through it. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, like that's a portal." And I never, ever told anybody that that was a portal. I kept it to myself until just now because I didn't want it. Maybe they don't want people to know they're portaling through there, or maybe they don't want to be known that they're portaling through there. But I know right now it's okay for me to talk about, because everything that they've shown me is they want me to talk about it. They want me to get the message out there. And that's some of the experiences that I've had with them. And they put me through a shimmer. A friend of mine, we got lost on this road. We were up by Mount Rushmore, which is kind of like 20 miles in the hills. It was about 10:30 at night, and we were trying to come back through Highway 385 back into Spearfish, which is it's a busy back road, but we were trying to get to it, and we got lost. We got disoriented somehow, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. We ended up going into this community, which I thought was Hill City. There was no activity going on. All the motels were closed, which is kind of a tourist town anyway, but everything was quiet. There was no traffic. There was only like this Jeep with dark tinted windows that was on the road with us. And that seemed to be following us. So we took off and we went through the town, and we started to see these lights in the trees. There was green lights and there was red lights in the trees. And I wasn't really concerned about those. I didn't even understand what those were. We were just trying to find a road to get out of there. So we took off driving on that road, and before we left we went on that road, and I looked over to the left of me, and it looked like a flying saucer in this big fence with these lights sitting on it, and it looked like it was in a white shrink wrap. And I remember looking over, and I could only see it through the trees in the certain part. So I slowed down and I reversed, and we backed up, and I was like, "Look," I was like, "there's a freaking UFO. I was like, "There's a ship." And we looked at, we could only see it through a certain angle, and it was pretty protected, but it was sitting in there. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, like, where are we?" I say, "Oh my gosh," I was actually saying a little bit more than that, because I was scared. I was freaking out. I was like, "Where are we?" And so we took off and we stayed on that road. And I was like, this road looks really new. Like, this doesn't look like a road that's been here. And something told me to start looking at the trees that were on the side of these rocks. And I looked over and they were just little tiny baby trees. And I was like, okay, this stuff is new. Like, these weren't grown here. Like, something's weird here. That road looked like it was freshly cut. You could tell that the signs were new on it, everything. So instead of going up like you would normally go when you're up in the hills, we started going down and we were going into the earth. And I started getting scared because there was really no way to turn around. This was really like more like a one car lane, but it was made for two. But really, we were driving down the middle of the road just so that we could stay on the road. And I couldn't really find a spot to turn around. So I was like, all right, well, let's just keep going. So we followed the road and we went down. And when we came down, there was this huge platform. I mean, huge, ginormous platform with these, it looked like buildings, concrete buildings. And there was like a metal fence around it, not like a those crisscross fence, but like bars, metal bar fence around this whole area. Like, it was something where you could step out and you could view it from a distance kind of thing. It was like we were going into a bunker or something. Anyway, so it was all lit up and it looked really kind of like scary, not a place where we probably should be or be entering. And so I turned around right there. And as I turned around, this Jeep came out of nowhere and he kind of like got behind us and pushed us out of there, like, leave, you know what I mean? And so we picked up on it, like, okay, we're leaving, we're out of here. And we took off and we drove back out again. And he followed us all the way back into town. And then he turned off. And as we were coming back through that town again, which I thought was Hill City, I still don't know. But anyway, there was a little house that was sitting there and it said, enter here. And so we slowed down and we looked at it and it was like a hole. There it was in the house. And we were like, oh, we, as I'm telling you, we were like, what is going on? Where are we? What's happening to us? We were scared. And I started to cry. And I said, what is happening? Like, where are we going? What are they doing to us? And I smudged off again. And we panicked, of course. We're like, what happened? We saw that house and it was like a dark hole. And it said, enter here. And so we took off and I was almost out of gas. And so I went to the gas station to try to get gas, but the gas, it wasn't open. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't even know if we have enough gas to make it out of here, but let's go. We took off. And as we drove out of that town, somehow we ended up right outside of Rapid City. I don't know how that happened. As I'm telling you, I don't know, but we ended up outside of Rapid City and we ended up going into Rapid and we gassed up and then we took off and we went home and we never talked about that again. You know, we just kind of let that go because it was just too traumatic. Stuff like that is just not stuff we really wanted to recall because it was too scary for us to even talk about, that we kind of just left it alone. And that, I believe now that I had talked to a friend of mine, he told me that what had happened was I went through a shimmer. And I didn't even know what a shimmer was. I was like, what is a shimmer? And I kind of restarted researching that. And I guess it's kind of an illusion of another world. And he told me that, he said, I know what place you're talking about. He goes, I was up there one time and I was right about where you're talking about, where that road started going down. He said, I was hiking up in that area and I started becoming really sick and disoriented and I couldn't go any further. He said my whole body became discombobulated and I started to feel like I was going to throw up. He said, so I walked back to my car, got back in my car and left. He goes, I think where you went is they allowed you to go through there and they protected you, talking about Star Nation, so that you could see that. And when he told me that, I really completely shut down and stayed quiet about it because I did not want to be on the radar for knowing any of that top secret information or whatever was going on. I just stayed quiet. I mean, I'm kind of a person where I kind of use my intuition. If something tells me to be careful and just don't talk, I won't talk. I mean, I'm definitely not making money off any of this information. It's just all personal stuff. So I've learned to stay quiet about it. And whatever reason, something had happened that night. And I tried to go look for that place again one day in the daytime. Never came across it. Never was able to get back to that spot again. So I'm not sure what that's all about. That's kind of a for your own information to just take what you want with it. And, you know, I'm just passing that on, that that's just some of the stuff that they have put me through. And I realize now that when they put me through that, they protect me somehow, or whatever it is they do, they shield me so that I can go through those events and come back out. And it is kind of a head game with me when it happens, because I don't know how to process it. I don't know who to talk to or what to say about it. So I've kept it quiet. And that event happened about, oh, I would say 3 years ago. So you're actually the only third person I've actually talked about it with. So that's how long I've kept it quiet. There's just certain things that I have to know when and gauge my audience and know when to speak about things. I've had to know that they are in charge of me. They protect me. For whatever reason, they've chosen me to talk to. I'm not saying that I'm this, you know, special one. I'm just saying they've chosen me personally to talk to and show this stuff to. So I'm very respectful to the knowledge and the information that they pass on to me. And then I did also realize that when I time travel with them, now that I look back on it, I'm time traveling when there's thunderstorms out and there's a lot of heavy electricity going on. And that's when I cross in, and whatever it is I'm supposed to do in that timeline, I'm aware of it now. I can go in and fix whatever problem, go pray whatever problem that's going on and get rid of it. And then when I come back out, it shifts the timeline out here. When I come back out, I'm actually the one that's different. Everything to these people out here is normal. They've all been living on this timeline, and I'm the one that's different. So I've learned now to kind of stay quiet and not really talk to people about it, because they don't kind of understand what's going on. Kind of like that movie Back to the Future.
Sure.
Like how, yeah, you just have to be careful who you talk to, because you could change.
Don't affect anything.
So I've learned. Yeah. Exactly. So I've learned now to kind of not talk to people about certain things and just keep quiet and let nature take its course the way it's supposed to, that people don't realize that I had to go back and lose some of my friends and some of my family and leave them behind, which is very, very hard for me. I'm a strong woman, and I just say, okay, well, I pray that they're in a better place, you know, and I had to leave them in a different timeline and come into this timeline, because I was obviously went back there to shift something or change something. And the blessing that makes me stay sane is that I'm doing it for humanity and to put us all on a better path. You know what I mean? It's just an emotional thing for me. And so then I accept it, that I have to leave certain things behind and just let it be, and that we're all going to be okay. And I've kept very, very humble and quiet about it. And I just walk with my head up, and I say, people don't realize what I've done and what I've had to give up. But for whatever reason, these angelic beings or whatever they are, trust me enough to go on and to keep pushing and to, help make the planet a better place. And then once I realized what they were doing to me and what they were using me for, I went through a period where for about maybe a month I was angry. I was mad because my heart was hurt because I had to leave certain people behind, and I didn't accept it as easily. It took me a while, but they kept coming to me in dreams, and they kept comforting me. And they would show me, like, they were telling me, this is your planet, and we're going to protect you, and you're going to take care of this planet, and you're going to love it. Everything here is yours. You're related to all of this stuff. You can talk to it. You can talk to the plants. You can talk to the animals. You can talk to other humans. You can talk to us. Everything, we're here for you. Like I remember waking up about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was in tears with a big lump in my throat, and I just laid there and I curled up and I was like, why me? And I just had to digest that. I mean, it was so mind blowing, and I thought it was just a dream. I mean, it was not just a dream. It was very powerful. Like, I was there, whatever they were doing, I was with them. But my human mind was saying, well, maybe I'm just dreaming, you know, maybe I just dreamt that. So I kind of let it go, but I continued to go out and talk with them. And the more I was out there talking with them, I mean, the louder they were coming through and they were showing me stuff. And then I learned to communicate with them through symbols. I would ask them questions, yes or no questions, and then tell them to make a symbol to answer it for me. And that's how we started talking. And that's, I began to trust them after that. I realized everything that they were doing for me was to comfort me and teach me and to guide me, that they're the ones guiding me. So then I started realizing that, okay, I don't think there's really like this big Christian heaven up there that Christians think. And I started researching Christianity and I'm like, okay, I think that Jesus was an angelic being. I think he came from the heavens and came down here as a human, shifted into a human to try to maybe help the planet or teach people. So I started trying to find myself and find where I belonged, because I didn't know anymore. I was kind of like, felt like I was all alone here. And who do I talk to? And how do I start using these abilities I have? And I just started playing with them and practicing with them. And I would walk by people. I would go into big areas where there was lots of people, and I could pick up on a lot of their energies, what vibrations they were on. And when people were ill, I would look at them and I would start meditating in my head to heal them. And I just started doctoring people like that telepathically. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is unbelievable. At first I kind of would giggle a little bit. I'm like, am I really doing this? And I started curing cancer for people. I helped an elderly man with his vision and bring his vision back. I put my hands over his eyes and prayed for him. And he told me when I was praying for him that a woman had come through with a baby that was she was carrying. And after I got done praying for him, he said that when I took my hands off his eyes, she disappeared. That next morning, he could see. He said he could start making out objects and start seeing things again. And he started cleaning his house and hanging pictures up on his wall. And so that's when it really took off for me. That's when I realized, okay, I got something that is so mind-blowing that I can't just go out and talk to people about it. I just have to do it quietly, and they don't even know that I'm doctoring them when I walk by them, or I see them in the store, or I'm walking and they're coming up beside me. And it, pretty soon I started noticing all these really sick people coming around me, and so I'd hurry up and meditate and doctor them, and then I would come home and I would just be wiped out. I'm like, dang, like, whew, this is a lot of work, you know, sending my energy. And then I started to become not sick, but I started becoming real weak and tired. And so then I went out and asked Star Nation, what am I supposed to do with them when I doctor them? And then that's when they told me that I have to release that energy out of my body and send it out into the universe and have it change its frequency so that it can't hurt anything out there, and into a positive, and it will come back down again. And so once I started learning how to change my frequency and send it out, then I started to become well again, and I wasn't so fatigued and tired and sick. So, I mean, they definitely teach me a lot. They teach me a lot of stuff. I mean,
all positive stuff as well.
Oh, beyond positive. Yes, for sure.
On the reservation where you're from, is it a large community?
I would say my reservation is the biggest one in the United States. It's 70 miles north and south and about 60 miles east and west.
Wow, big.
Yes, very big.
When it comes to this tribe elders, what are the beliefs in the star people?
Our star people are the people that have created us. Creator is the vast unknown, and he's the one that we're related to, that we're all everything. Everything has been made from Star Nation. All everything here in this dimension is made from the Creator, which is the vast unknown. And we keep it just very, like what I said, we stay very humble, and we know that you know, we're not supposed to know everything. We're supposed to just accept it. And once you accept it, then that's when you start making connections with them. You become on their frequency. You know, I was driving one night and I got to meet the Big Dipper. The Big Dipper is not stars. The Big Dipper is orbs. They're orbs. And I was with my daughter's son, and we were coming back over by Belle Fouche, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. And we saw these lights in this and it wasn't even a field. It was just alongside the road. It looked like two football fields. There was red light, blinking lights just sitting there. So we slowed down. We were looking at it and it literally all them lights, maybe now that I think about it, when I look back, it was probably a ship, but it was so dark and dense out that night that we didn't comprehend it. We just knew that these were blinking lights, and they lifted up off the ground and they just sat there and they were levitating in the air, and it kind of scared us. You know, we're like, oh my gosh, like, let's get out of here. They might try to take us. And so we took off down the road. And as we continued, I was doing about 70 on this road, trying to get as far away from it as we could. I mean, this is how massive it was. We were still side by side with it. It may have been traveling with us, I don't know. But it started levitating more up, like into the skyline. And then all of a sudden it just took off. It like blinked out. And so we pulled over and we got out of the car and we were kind of like, what is that? And, you know, he was like, wow. He was like, what do you think? I said, I don't know. I go, it scared me though. I go, I thought it was going to take us. And we took off and we started driving. We were coming outside of Belle Fourche and we were by the Ormond Dam. And there was these bright, big, huge lights sitting on the water. And he didn't know the area. He thought they were houses. And I said, no, that's Ormond Dam. Like, there's no houses there. Like, that's all water. And he's like, are you sure? And I go, yes. I go, gosh, I was like, just believe me. I was like, there's no houses there. That's Ormond Dam. And which is a great big water hole. And we slowed down like that. And we saw all these balls of light, gigantic. I mean, when I say gigantic, I'm talking like they were probably maybe from a distance about as big as a city block sitting out on the water. And in the blink of an eye, those balls shot up into the sky. And we didn't know what was happening. We continued to watch them. They were just going boom, boom, and they were going up into the sky. And we slowed down, and I looked up into the sky, and there you go. The Big Dipper was right there. And I was like, what? I didn't have the concept yet that that was the Big Dipper that had come down here. I was like, what's going on? I was like, did those lights shoot up into the Big Dipper? I mean, that's what I thought. And he was like, I don't know. And I'm like, that is so weird. And, you know, I'm scratching my head. I'm going, that's weird. And then I forgot about it, didn't pay much attention to it. And I went to a ceremony and talked to a medicine man. And he said, well, the Native Americans come from the Big Dipper. That's our star nation. I said, what? And he was like, that's where we're from. You know, you got to meet the Big Dipper. And I was like, wow, well, the Big Dipper's lights, they're orbs. I was like, it's not like what everybody thinks out there. I mean, that's all a misconception. And so that was a great experience for me. You know, things like that that have happened. When I got to meet them in July, I met them in July in Rapid City, in this housing development in Rapid City. This ship came down. I was on my way to go to the store and I was with my nephew and we were driving. We're at a stoplight and this light just came right down. I mean, it was loud and clear. It was like a disco ball again. And it was like, it was a ship, but I didn't know if it was Ellsworth or if it was a UFO, because they say that like the military sometimes sends out crazy looking crafts to try to mislead people. So I discontinued. I disregarded it. I was like, okay, it's probably Ellsworth, because why would something be so close to the city line, like right in front of us? You know what I mean? So I kind of just kept on driving, got to the second set of lights, and it was sitting right there just like waiting for us. And I was like, hey, I was like, look at that. I go, I think that's a UFO. And there was a guy sitting next to me at the stoplight. I roll my window. I go, hey, look at that. Do you see that ship up there? And he looked up at it and he didn't think anything about it. And he just carried on. I was like, okay, whatever. So I follow the ship and it takes off and I'm chasing it, not really chasing it, but it's taking me down this road and then it goes to the left. So I turn left and I follow it and then it just stopped above this church. And I'm like, okay. So I pull into this church parking lot. I pull my binoculars out. I look at it. It's a ship, but it's got lights all the way around it and they're spinning. And I'm like, what is, okay, this isn't Ellsworth, because these are not like normal lights. These are kind of different, like a orb lights. And so I was like, okay, well, what do you want? Like, what are you trying to show me? And then it just sat there and it was like, okay, well, I followed you. I'm at this church. I don't understand what's going on. So I pull out of the parking lot. I start heading back to the main road again. And it just, boom, it just appeared right in front of me again. I was like, okay, what do you want? Like, I was like, what do you want? Like, what are you trying to show me? And then it just started moving towards the south. And so then I got on the road and I just started going south with it. And then it took me down this other road and I followed this other road because I don't want to give out the location where I met these people at. So then I followed it and it just parked. It just parked right there. And so I started driving up towards it and I walked in, pulled into this neighborhood and it disappeared. It just, boom, it was gone. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. I didn't even know what I was doing in that neighborhood. So I pulled alongside the road and I actually was just looking around to see what they were trying to show me. And I heard this loud music playing. It sounded like a theater, like it was like a concert kind of that was going on with this music. And this, mind you, now this is probably like about 9 o'clock at night, maybe 9:30. And there was kids playing. There was people laughing. It sounded like it was a party was going on. I'm like, wow, okay, well, who's throwing this party? And the grass was just like all green and lush and the trees were like just perfect. Everything was perfect and clean here. And I was like, gosh, I've never been here before. I didn't even know this little area existed here. And so my nephew and I get out of the car. I said, well, we'll see what they want, you know, because I thought the lights, whatever it was, brought me there for. I said, let's go see what they're trying to show us. Let's go see what they want. So I start walking towards that house and there was a big fence around it. And then there was lots of trees and we could see lights moving around. And I didn't think much too much of it. And so we were sitting on the grass and we were listening to the music and they got it pretty soon. The music got low. There was a voice there that reminded me of a friend of mine. And he said, shh, be quiet. He goes, she can hear. And I didn't even realize they were talking about me. You know, I was just like, whatever, they're having a party over there. They're on their microphones. And that girl started laughing in this really weird laugh. Like it was kind of an evil laugh. And she said, is that your girlfriend? And he said, be quiet, she can hear us. And then pretty soon this other male's voice that was a friend of mine got on the microphone and he said, she's walking around with a broken heart in the dark, and she's walking around and there's men lurking in the dark watching her. And they played this Tom Petty song that had that lyric in it, and I was sitting there and I started getting all choked up. For some reason I started crying, and my nephew was like, Auntie, what's wrong? I go, I don't know. I go, where are we? I go, why am I hearing his voice? And he was like, what are you talking about? And he didn't even know what was going on. And I said, I don't know what's happening. I don't know where we are, what's happening. I said, I'm going to go walk up there and see what's going on. And he said, well, I'm going to go back to the car. So he went back to the car. I started walking up to the front of that fence or that house. And there was no cars parked there. There was nobody in the house. The lights were on. And as I started going up the sidewalk to go towards that house up to the front door, this woman came out and she was gorgeous and pretty, and she started walking toward me. And I looked at her and I go, hey, what's going on? And she said, oh, we're having a party. And I said, oh, I go, okay. I said, well, I heard these lights brought us here. And I said, I was just wondering what was going on. And I said, where'd everybody go? Because all that music stopped. And she said, they left. And I said, what? Who left? And she goes, they left. And I was like, I didn't see anybody leave. And I was just the way I'm telling you, I was very kind of scared. I go, I didn't see anybody leave. And she goes, don't they have these lights here? Or she goes, where are you? Oh, I asked her, I said, where are you from? And she's like, I'm from here. And she goes, where are you from? And I said, I'm from here. I go, I'm from Spearfish. And she goes, well, don't they have these lights in Spearfish? And I looked at her and she was real nice to me. And I said, no. She knew I was scared because I was like, who's this lady? You know, like, and she goes, well, it's so nice to meet. Oh, she goes, it's so nice to finally meet you. And she just looked at me and I looked at her and I was like, I pulled away a little bit from her. I was like, what is she talking about? It's so nice to finally meet me. And then she just grabbed me and she hugged me and she held me. And so I was hugging her back. And I had my head into her shoulder and I was asking her, I was like, what's going on, like that. And then I pulled back from her and she looked at me. She goes, anytime you want to come look at the lights with me. She goes, I live right over there. And she pointed to her house. She goes, you can come over and we can sit on the patio. And I said, okay. And she took off walking and I ran back down to my car. I was like maybe a half a block away. I ran back down to my car and I told my nephew, I was like, did you see anybody leave? And he was like, no. I was like, oh my gosh. I go, hold on. And so I started running back towards that fence, and there was no lights in there. But the first time that him and I were there, when we saw these orbs, but I didn't realize they were orbs. I thought it was a disco light. I thought they were disco lights flying around back there, but they were actually orbs now that I look back on it. But anyway, when I ran back to him, I go, oh my gosh, I was like, did you see anybody leave? And he was like, no. I'm like, okay, like, what the F's going on here? And then he was like, Auntie, let's go. I'm getting scared. I go, grab that sage and smudge off. I said, no, I'm not done. I need to find out what's going on. And he was like, no, let's just leave. I go, I think she was a fucking alien. And he was like, what? And I go, I think she was an alien. And then he was like, well, let's go. I mean, because he knows about our culture too. And he didn't doubt it or anything. So we got in the car and I had videoed it. I videoed everything that was kind of going on there, except for when I ran into her. And anyway, that SD card ended up coming up missing out of my phone about probably a week after that. I showed one person those lights. And then after that, that SD card came up missing. But long story short, that after that, 2 days later, that's when I took off and I left and I went back to the reservation and did a ceremony on the reservation to get rid of that dark energy. It was called the Underman. He was like a dark force that was causing people to commit suicide, causing a lot of drugs there. He would shapeshift into animals or other things. And then when it would come around people, it would make them real sick and real dizzy. And like they would have anxiety and panic attacks, and they would either drink or get crazy and want to kill themselves. And it was also out here it wasn't just on the reservation. It was out here in the Black Hills. It was all over. I want to say it was actually all over the planet. And so when I went back and did that ceremony and asked for Star Nation to get it off the planet and to take it and do whatever they needed to do with it. And they did. I had taken my little nephew. He was like about 11. I took him with me and we were sitting out on my car hood and we were watching this field. When we were zooming in with my binoculars, you could see those little dark entities walking towards this portal that was like in the earth. It was spinning and it was spinning the fields, and they were walking towards it and they were jumping in it. And he was like watching it. And he was like, what is that, Auntie? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know. I think those are like the evil things that are here. I go, so I went and talked to two medicine men and they told me, okay, Tarita, you know, we got to do a ceremony and open up a portal and send them out of here. And they said, you do yours and we'll do ours. And we didn't really plan on when we were going to do them. I just did mine. And I did the ceremony. And then that night, about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, all this windstorm came up. It was like I was in a tornado. It was like lightning was lightning and wind was blowing. Dust was all over it. It literally felt like I was like around a tornado that was spinning around us. And it passed through. It went on for about 45 minutes. And then the next morning, everything was crisp, clear, clean. Kids were out like riding their bikes and playing at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, which was weird. That doesn't happen on the reservations. They don't come out that early and play. So they were out playing and kids were just walking with their basketballs. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Like, this is so cool. I didn't realize what had happened until after I left and I came home. I started coming back towards Spearfish. I'm about 3.5-4 hours. I came back through a lightning storm, thunderstorm. When I came back into Spearfish, into my community, that's when I started noticing like there were newer vehicles here. Everything was just a little bit different here. There was newer stuff. There was buildings here that I don't even remember them being under construction. So I kind of was like, when did that come here? So I started asking like, where's that one lady that used to work here? Like, she was here for like a couple of years. And they're like, oh no, she quit. She hasn't been here for 5 years. And I'm like, what? I'm like, she was just here. And the one lady was like, no, she was like, I've been here. She goes, I've been here for 5 years. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, okay. So then I started noticing everything was 5 years. Everything was 5 years. People kept just saying this number five to me, five, five, five. And so I started realizing that when I came back, I must have came back into the timeline. And somehow it was 5 years. We're ahead 5 years somehow, because everything's newer here. And after about maybe two weeks to a month of asking people what was going on and everyone was normal, I realized I was the one that was not. I was the different one. I was the one that had to accept the timeline that I came back into. And that's when I started getting angry and I was mad and I started becoming like sick, because I had had to leave relationships behind that really hurt me, that I wasn't ready to just let go of yet. So I slept for probably maybe I would move around for a day or two and go look at everything, and I would get so depressed and so upset, and I would sleep for like a whole day, and then I would go back out and I'd start walking again and start praying and asking what's going on, you know, am I ever going to have a normal life again, and where are all my friends? I don't have any more of my friends anymore. And that's when my whole life started changing, and I just started making contact with them, and they started talking to me, and they started showing me more stuff, and they put me in contact with Jimmy Church. And then I just let go of the old life, and I said, okay, I'm ready to accept my new responsibilities. And then they came to me again, and they showed me that this is your planet. You're going to take care of this planet, and we're going to help you. And they basically were like, don't question anything. You're going to be okay. We're going to shield you. We're going to protect you with everything that you're going to need. And anything that you want on this planet, we're going to give it and provide it to you. And that's when things got real for me. And I started smiling and laughing and saying, okay, this is a game we're playing. And I'll be the little player in it. And I will do whatever, everything I do now will be for them. I will work for them and just stay humble and stay quiet as best as I can and not boast about anything that has been given to me. So, you know, I have plenty more experiences of meeting with them and things that they have done for me. But, you know, there's just so much that I'd have to write a book. So those are some of the experiences that I've realized, and I can use that technology in an actual human form. I don't need these machines that can use free energy to doctor and heal stuff. I can just do it on my own. And the timelines and stuff and time travel, all that's very possible. And I speak from experience that I personally have time traveled and gone back and forth. And at any time, they can take me and put me in different timelines. And maybe that's a good thing, though, because maybe it's good that I don't really recognize I'm in that timeline right away, because I don't know how the butterfly effect can really work. So they definitely, when they move me into a different timeline to correct something, to put us on a positive frequency, I definitely don't get to talk to people that I think are normally should be there at their home, because they're not home. Like, and when I went back to the reservation, I went to go see my dad, and he wasn't there. And it's weird because he has three of my brothers and sisters that live in his house, and they all have kids. There's always somebody in that house. There's never not been nobody in that house. You know what I mean? And when I went back there to go see him, there was nobody there. The whole house was dark, which was really weird. None of the cars were even in the driveway. So I was like, dang, where did they all go? I remember thinking, gosh, where did my dad go? You know, like, where did they all go? And then I was sitting at the park journaling, and he drove by me, and I recognized him, and he was in his 20s, and he was in this old truck. He was like in an 80s Bronco, and it was a cream colored truck. And I was like, what's going on? I remember he drove by me, and I looked up at him, and he smiled at me, and he nodded his head. And I was like, Dad? And then I remember just looking and watching that pickup leave, or that Bronco, and I never ever seen it again after that. So I was sitting there, and I started journaling, and I've taken all the stuff that I have journaled. I have evidence of the times that these things have happened to me, and when they've come to me and told me stuff, what I would do is I would journal it on pieces of paper, and then I would take pictures of it and store it in my phone. And I was like, this is just my journaling of all the events that I've passed through and what's going on. So I would have some kind of timeline for my information when I started seeing things and started receiving information from Star Nation. So those have not been taken out of my, I didn't save them on an SD this time. This time I just saved them in the cloud. You know, I was like, I'm going to get a little bit smarter this time. And
yeah, that's a great idea.
So now my photos are in the cloud. You know what I mean? I actually have writings of things that they've told me and taught me. And then I would take, and in order to validate that was my writing, I would put my left hand onto the picture with my tattoo and then take a picture of it so that it was validated that those were my documents with my hand on there. And then I would save them up into the cloud. So I got a little bit wiser to my things, because everything I've ever documented has been taken away from me. And it's okay. I used to get mad but now I'm starting to see people posting videos of them coming and catching them. I'm like, good. Everybody else is getting the videos now. Thank goodness. You know, I mean, everything I speak with a sincere heart, and there's nothing to gain from any of this except for to pass on knowledge and information that they are here. And they are very much real, and there are they are shifting into animals and humans and here on the planet. And, you know, sometimes I get a little bit lonesome, you know, I get lonesome because I'm like, am I ever going to meet anybody that, you know, can comfort me that they've gotten to experience any of this or more? And they told me when I asked Star Nation, you know, are you guys going to bring people that are going to like be able to help me on this path so that I'm not all alone and people don't try to hurt me or do something to me or kill me or take me out? They told me loud and clear, we're protecting you. You're safe. Don't worry about anything. Go public. That's when they put me in touch with Jimmy Church and now you and another gentleman. And they made that, I was walking one night and they made this huge spiral. That light came, that disco ball, I call it the disco ball. It came down and it got my attention. So then I said, okay, what do you want? Like, what are you showing me? And they started, spinning around in a spiral, and then they shot into a lightning bolt, and I was like, whoa, okay, what is that? And then they started making this J in the sky, this crazy J. And then I was like, okay, like, what's that? And I was like, oh, are you talking about Jim? This was my friend Jim. I was like, oh, are you talking? And then it just stopped. And so that's who I thought. I was like, oh, okay, you want me to stay in contact with Jim? I was like, okay. So I continued on walking. And then it started following me again, and it started moving around again, and it would start making that spiral. And I was like, okay, what do you want? What are you showing me? And then it started making that J, and I was like, J, first I thought it was going to be a heart, an upside down heart. And so I was waiting for them to finish, and it stopped it made the J, and it stopped. And then it started making the spiral and the lightning bolt again. And I was like, Jimmy Chirp. And then it just started spinning this huge circle and zigzagging all over up there, and I was like, oh, Jimmy Church. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, thank you. And I thought they were just, I was said, okay, thank you for like putting me in contact with him. I was like, yes, I was on Jimmy Church, thank you. I was like, yeah, I like him. And then and they just kept making that big circle, and I was like, okay, so you guys want me to stay in contact with Jimmy Church? And then it did the spiral and it did the lightning bolt, and I was like, oh, that's Jimmy Church's sign, the spiral and the lightning bolt. So I got on the phone and I called him on the next fader night and told him, you know, hey Jimmy, they like you, and you know, and they told me that they were gonna, and maybe you too, I mean, they told me they were gonna use him as the platform for me to get my information out, and that they were gonna make it happen. And so I just let it go. You know, I don't feed too much into any negativity. Everything that they do, they teach me in a positive way. And when I break the codes and they answer for me, or, you know, I get my answer, then that's when the whole thing starts shifting again. And then more information starts coming to me. They're allowing me to go to California. I never, ever, ever wanted to go to California. And, you know, I wasn't real sure if I really wanted to yet or not. I wasn't sure what I was going to walk into there, but they went ahead and provided the way for me. And I was like, okay, well, as long as I'm going to be safe going there and there's people around me that will protect me going there, I don't want to get hurt because I'm going to be going to a big city and flying through some airports that I don't want to be, have anyone try to come up and do anything to me or send me negative frequency. I was like, just protect me and I'll go, and I'll go meet these people and we'll get our message out there. And boom, next thing you know, all of a sudden I just, okay, got this, booked that, got it ready. And I was like, and then after I booked my flight in my hotel room, then I just kind of got a big lump in my throat. And I was like, wow, I'm really going, like, I'm going to go meet all these people.
Your path is going to be guided.
Thank you.
You often find that you have chance meetings with people, you know, and it's all kind of just set out.
I think they definitely want me to get in contact with people like yourself, because like you're in your country, it's more acceptable, where in the U.S. it's everything is a hush hush. But definitely they want me to go meet these people so that I can validate for these scientists and these researchers and the physics part of it that this stuff is real. like, you can scrutinize me all you want if you don't believe me. If you don't believe me, that's for you to go research and find out. Not talking to you, but talking to a general person that is questioning. Go do your own research and go find out what's your truth, but don't try to come at me and tell me that what I've experienced and my knowledge and information is wrong, because I will not discredit Star Nation and their abilities and their knowledge that they give to me. You know, it's too powerful. I've had too many experiences, too much validation, that after 4.5 years, I'm able to finally come out and go public. It's taken me that long to come out. And so this isn't information like, oh, I'm trying to get attention or I'm trying to seek this or that. No, I was very cautious and careful of everything, the way I laid everything out. I made sure that they would be there to protect me. And they told me twice, you know, they would take care of me. So I don't question things anymore. I just know that, you know, whatever these scientists are trying to get out there, I can go and tell them, hey, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been there. I've done it. I've experienced it. This is real stuff. We're just a human concept. From my understanding in the culture is that dimension one is the earth, and earth and the elements on the earth is dimension one. Dimension two can see dimension one. That's the plants and the animals, and they need the planet to be on. Dimension three is us. We are able to see the plants and animals. We're able to be on the planet, and we're conscious people. We have emotions. That's what separates us from dimension two. And so dimension three is related to dimension two and dimension one. Dimension two is related to dimension one. Dimension four is the spirit world, when our energy leaves our body and goes into that dimension, and it can see dimension three, which is us, the 3D physical, dimension two and dimension one. And then dimension five is when they shift into these other beings. So, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But everything is a law of cosmics, of how everything works. There's a law. There's a chain of command, the way everything shifts and it follows. And that's not for us to really try. We don't have to know that stuff. We'll get there when we get there. And, you know, I have had a small life death experience when I tried to end my life after my mother passed away 5 years ago. I did get to cross over, which I thought I was dead and was traveling. And she was, I mean, when she met me, it wasn't like she hugged me and she was excited. There was none of that going on. When I was traveling, when I met her, I went through a dark space, a very, very dark tunnel. And I was scared. I remember asking, like, where are you, mom? Where are you? Like, where am I going? And I don't know how long I was traveling through that for, because there's no time out there. But I remember when I came through, a lot of Christians and people say, oh, there was a bright light. Well, for me, it wasn't really a bright light. It was just luminous. And I started moving towards it. And it wasn't like a big, extravagant, beautiful thing. I just remember going, okay, there's something there. And so I started going towards it. And then I kept saying, mom, where are you? Mom, mom. And then all of a sudden she said, Tarita. And I felt her presence to the right of me. And so, like I said, she didn't grab me and hug me and be like, hey, honey, daughter, I'm glad you're here. It was not nothing sweet and pretty like that. It was a very scary experience. I was like looking for her, like, where are you? I couldn't see her, but I knew she was beside me. And she just grabbed me and she was like, come here. She goes, I want to show you something. And so she pulls me, you know, that's how I'm saying it in our language, in English, or communicating with you. But that was the vibration she gave me, was like, come on, I'm going to show you something. And she took me and we went through this dark tunnel, and then boom, we were in this like little space. It was a big space, but it was a little hole that we went through, and there was people there, and there was no time, there was no aging, there was not even, I couldn't even make out who they were. They were just like figures moving around, like shadows, luminous shadows, but pretty. Everything was crispy and clear there, but it was all luminous stuff. And it was like a Native American setting. It was like natural animal plants, maybe. I'm not completely sure, because I was only there for, like, in my concept, just seconds. And she said, this is where I've been. And I said, oh my gosh, I love it here, mom. And she goes, come here, I want to show you something else. And then she pulled me back through that tunnel again, and we went through it, and she took me to this other spot. And when we went through it, it was like a big park or some kind of amusement place. There was music playing or something. It was a fun place. And And then I remember looking up. Well, I thought I looked up and the whole area shifted and it went up. And I was like, whoa. And then I remember like turning my body. Well, I thought I had a body and I turned and the whole area shifted to the left. And I was giggling. I was like, Mom, is this what it's like here? And she goes, yes. And I go, oh my gosh, this is, I remember like my vibration was telling her, this is so cool. I love it. And she goes, do you want to stay? I remember when I turned, the whole everything shifted to the right again, and I was giggling. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. Like, this is a cool. And she said, do you want to stay? I mean, she was very direct with me. And I remember saying, no. I said, Mom, I have to go back because I was thinking about my kids. And there was work I had to do back here yet. I wasn't ready. I said, Mom. And anyway, I didn't realize I was already in the ICU and I was dying, but I thought I had already crossed over. And I said, no, Mom. I said, I have to go back. I said, I have to go take care of some things. And I promise, I said, I'll come back and see you. And her vibration was, okay, I'll be right here waiting for you. And then she just disappeared. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to get back? How am I going to get back? And then all of a sudden I just got sucked and I started getting sucked backwards. And I went through this dark place again for a long time. I don't know how long I was going through it, but in my physical mind, it felt like minutes, like maybe half hour. I don't know how long I was going through. It was a long time though. And then all of a sudden I heard her to the right of me. She said, Tarita. Like, she was trying to wake me up. She was like, Tarita. And I remember opening my eyelids like that. And I was covered in all these wires and hooked up to machines. And my daughters were standing next to me holding my hand. And I opened my eyes and they were like, Mom, Mom. And then I just was like, whoa, where's my mom? I said, where's my mom? And they were like, Mom. And then I'm asking for my mom. And I'm like, where's my mom? And they were like, Mom, you're okay. Mom, Mom. And then they went and got the doctors and said, she's awake. She's awake. And I remember just like looking around the room going, what just happened? Like, what's going on? Like, wow. I mean, I just didn't know what was going on. But for 5 days, I was dying. And for whatever reason, something saved me. And they were getting ready to life flight me to Sioux Falls and then to the Mayo Clinic. And that day before, my liver started working and everything kicked in and my vitals got stable and I didn't have to leave. So
wasn't your time.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of spiritual experiences and that's how they communicate is through spirituality. And that's just the biggest message I want to get out there to people is that they have told me in the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to be shifting, going through a time shift. And Laura and all of them, they all talk about it. I mean, we're shifting right now from what I understand. But they have told me that to tell people you got to start correcting your karma and your negative energy and change it around and start working on it. Because when it shifts, it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. And when it might happen while we're sleeping, I don't know. But everything is going to shift. And anybody that's on that, I think it's going to happen in 3.5 years. That's what I'm hitting on. But they broadened it in a time frame where it's 3 to 5 years. And anybody that's on that positive high frequency will get the abilities to telepathically communicate with each other. You'll be able to telepathically heal yourself. Everything that I'm capable of doing, I feel like they're experimenting with me. People will get to do on that time shift when they shift as we'll all get to rise to a higher consciousness and the planet will become a more better, peaceful living place to live. So that's information that I really try to get out there to people. It's like you've got in Laura and them, they talk about it. Like you have to change your karma and be more loving, be more forgiving of yourself, forgive others. Nobody gets to judge anybody. You're your own judge. You're your own God. You're your own creator. And you can change your own life and change your surroundings. And once we all start doing that one by one, everything will change the way it's supposed to. So that's the knowledge and information I definitely want to share with people.
Yeah, it's great that you've managed to come on and share so much today. You definitely have to come back and give us an update.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I definitely am a fan of yours. And anytime I can, you know, if there's anybody that's going through anything that you may come in contact with while you're doing your podcast, you know, feel more than free to bring me on or to have me introduce with them.
Sure, that'd be great.
Scientists, anybody that wants to, you know, talk about things that I know about, I'm more than willing to help them in a positive way to help them do their own researching. My biggest thing is to just get out there and just to help people and to just stay humble because when I help, good things come back to me through other people. And so I try to always pass it forward and just stay humble. The biggest part is to not let my human ego say, you know what I can do? You know, sometimes I want to get mad when people try to discredit me or try to talk down me. The old me wants to be like, no, but I don't. I bite my tongue and I'm like, be quiet, Tarita. They're not even on your level. Don't go there. Dream to stop. Like, I don't want to go through this. I'm not ready. And I went through that. It was like a trampoline. I went through that web and then I flew backwards and I woke up right from it and my heart was beating. I was in tears. I was like, okay, God, what happened? Like, what was going on with me? And then a little time after that, about a week later, I had another strong dream where I was laying on the ground and I had my hands folded underneath my face. Like, you can get what I'm saying. Like, I'm laying on my stomach with my hands folded under my head, holding my head up. And then all of a sudden they came down with these great big huge claws. I mean, I don't even know what to say. They were kind of like a laser something. And they just scooped up like a big, huge dip of the planet. I mean, I'm not kidding. It was a massive, massive round. And they started scooping up a bunch of us and they started pulling us up into the ship. And I remember going up into the ship and I was laying on the belly of the ship and it was invisible. And I was looking down at the planet and we were lifting off and we were going out. And I was like, no, I was thinking of my grandkids and my kids. I was like, no, I'm not leaving them. Like, no. And I literally pulled myself out of that dream. I was so strong enough to do it. I pulled myself out and I woke up like that. And I was laying there and I was like, no, I was like, God, what were they trying to do to me? Were they like trying to take me? And I was like, why were you guys trying to take me and make me leave my kids behind? I was like, no, I'm not leaving my kids. And as soon as I said that, I had this old cell phone that doesn't even work. It hadn't worked for like a month. And it just dinged out of nowhere. It went ding. I had a text message on there. And I go to pull it out. And the battery light on it's blinking. And I'm like, this thing was dead. Like, this thing, I haven't used this thing for over a month. Like, what the heck? Anyway, so I powered it off and I was just like laying there. And I mean, it really had me thinking for a while. I was like, gosh, what's going on? Like, what's going on the planet, you know? And, you know, but when they came to me a couple nights ago and they came to me, the dream, when I say these are dreams, that's the only way I can explain them. They're not really dreams, they're actual events, but I'm so awake in them and I'm so alert of what's going on that I don't stop them anymore. I just kind of let them play out and see what's going on. And this one, when they came through a couple nights ago, they were showing me that they were coming through invisible. They were invisible and they were coming through. And then they were humans here on the planet with me. And that they showed me that they're here in my community. They're all around me and there's more is coming. And as soon as I said, oh, you guys are here, I was like, okay, you guys are here to help me. And as soon as I recognized it, boom, it disappeared. Everything vanished. And I woke up from my sleep. Well, I don't even know if I was sleeping, but I remember opening my eyes and I just laid there. And I was like, God, what is going on? I remember telling myself, and it was probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. I was like, what's going on? Like, are you, oh my gosh. I was like, okay, like, just show me, like, introduce me to people that I'm supposed to meet that are on my path. And, you know, I just need help. I need validation. Take care of me. And I started crying a little bit because I was like, gosh, I mean, I just want to make sure that everything is okay and that I didn't wake up too soon from what you were trying to show me. And, you know, and I just let it go. And I got up and I prayed, meditated and smudged myself on and went on with my day. So forces, whatever, that didn't want any of this exposed. I think once they realized that the Star Nation was like cloaking and surrounding me and shielding me, that there was nothing they could do anymore to get to me. And I think once I went back in and I changed that timeline with that dark entity that was on our planet, and when I came back out, that's when I started Star Nation. I'm their child, their little girl that they're watching over down here, and maybe all along, except for just to accept it and to be a part of life and have a human experience and move on, you know, sharing my information and what I'm sharing is my truth. And we are all one and we have to work together as one so that we can keep moving forward.
Thanks so much for coming on today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you. I will. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.